You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Each sold separately. Batteries not included.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. I'm Greg Rosenthal, sitting in for Dan Handis, our host out today, surrounded in a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler and Patrick Claibon.
What's up, guys? How are you today?
I'm great. We got to hang out with Jason Zumwalt down by the sea, and you as well, Patrick, on, was that Thursday, Friday? I don't even know what
it was. One of those. They all fade into each other,
but Zumwalt's moving to Connecticut at the end of the month, I believe. But what a great hang. He's an enjoyable person to conversate with.
Yeah, and the joy that you get from the drops, they come through in real life. And it's like consistently delivering. Yeah. Like, hey, man, like, it's okay. He's on and he's awesome. And
he is joyous, a ball of energy that our fans or our listeners, I should say, that bought tickets for our live show back in LA in January got to enjoy. So we wish, you know, Zumwalt well, but he's not going anywhere in terms of the listeners. He's going to be dropping those.
You can still do what he does, voiceover acting skills from any location.
The Zummy drops are staying strong. And this is a good job by our host, Dan, who is out this show, but he'll be back on Thursday. We're back in the studio. We're feeling comfortable. You know, the beach was nice. The sound is pristine, though, in this studio. So there are positives, and I feel at home here in the Chris Wessling Podcast studio. And Dan will be back on Thursday. We'll have a lot of mini camps, I guess, to wrap up. There's a handful of mini camps this week, and then the rest of them are next week. And then it goes from quiet to extraordinarily quiet. It really gets into Angel City season. Claibon wearing the sweatshirt of his wife's employer, the local soccer unit.
Yeah, we got a game against Chicago tonight at BMO Stadium.
Okay.
Do you go to all the games?
It's a tough go with the kids because they like to run in separate directions, and they're faster now and as well as stronger. And it becomes a problem. But yeah, we've gone to a couple. It's been pretty good.
It's a delightful fan atmosphere at that stadium, I would say.
I would agree.
I know I'm off topic here, but I would recommend. Soccer's happening in LA. All right, we're doing a lot today, actually. We're getting ambitious. We're trying something new. And we're going to go through all 32 teams and give you the spiciest player on every single team. And there can be no debate. There is no discussion. We are determining through scientific means the spiciest player for all 32 teams. Try to do like 90 seconds each. So we're giving a lot of work here to Eric back there. And Eric and Randy are going to pop in into the 90 seconds.
That's the plan.
Can't wait to see what they come up with.
But before we do that, let's do a little news.
As a Western New York kid, it gives me a great deal of pride to be here today. I've been to a lot of groundbreaking ceremonies in my time at the NFL, but none of them are more meaningful than being here today.
Is that Raj getting a little emotional?
I thought I heard a little bit of, emotion, hesitation in the voice there.
He is a Western New York guy. They got the stadium built, or they got it approved, and it's getting built. It's all happening for the Bills, and we mentioned that, not just because that'll be interesting when they actually have that thing done. I don't think they'll put a Super Bowl there, but it'll be fun to see it get done. The Bills are at the top of our news rundown today because they got a couple items of business done. I'm going to mention them both, and you can comment on whatever you want to first. Ed Oliver got $45 million guaranteed in a new contract. He was the top 10 pick from, 5 years ago. They had said for a while, they put a fifth-year option on him. They wanted to keep him long-term. They spoke with their paychecks, a little bigger contract, I think, than a lot of people expected. And then they backed up that deal with a new signing Monday morning, just as we were getting ready to tape. Leonard Floyd is joining the Buffalo Bills, Mark. What do you think?
I love the signing. He has 29 sacks over the last three seasons, Floyd. And Von Miller, it sounds like Von Miller will be ready for the opener. And I just go back to last year's opener and how disruptive they were. They basically blew up the season of the LA Rams right out of the gate with what they could do with their pass rush. So that, along with Oliver, who is only 25 years old. I mean, this is a defense that does not have Leslie Frazier. And it is going to be Sean McDermott calling the plays, so it's not going to change. But that transition, just like last year, they had a new offensive coordinator. The Bills want, I think, feel like they want to be as consistent as possible with their roster, with their approach, and that's one little area of transition.
And an exceedingly consistent player who, since 2018, has literally played in every game available between the Rams and between Chicago, and he gets reunited with Vaughn. I like the pickup, and I love Ed Oliver getting paid because it's one of the things that always bugs me during draft season, where a player questions a particular form of authority, and then somebody says, "Does this guy love football?" And it's like, is that the question, or do you just not like the way he questions a particular aspect of authority? And this was
what happened. I don't even remember.
There was this college coach, and there was a taking plays off thing. Well, anyway, looks like that's all been worked out. Ed Oliver's a good football player, and the Buffalo Bills are paying him. And so, yes, win for the good guys.
I think some contract. I don't want to say dorks because I'm one of them. People that like to follow, okay, where do different players slot in? They find the financial aspect interesting. We're a little surprised by the size of this deal. Oliver really finished strong in the 2021 season. I think one of my making the leaps last year and really thought he'd even take the next step. I'm not sure that quite happened. He was injured at the beginning of the year. He's been good. He's been a really good player. He hasn't racked up huge sack totals or anything like that. His PFF grades are always like good, not amazing, but good, but a pass rusher. And so I think this is a smart deal, actually. I push back against those contract nerds because I think it was one where you know the player so well, and it is a little more risk, I think, than most contracts that you give to like a fourth-year player, but they know him so well. And if you actually look at the money, it really only slots in, once you count that fifth-year option, as like a top 15 defensive tackle. And I think all these contracts are about to explode. And I've been saying that for a few years, but now the new TV money is truly about to come in. And I think this is one where it's like, we believe in you, Ed Oliver. We're going to give you some money. You could hold, you know, and wait another year and maybe make even more. Because I was thinking, if I was doing the top free agents, you can say Ed Oliver's only been so good as a pro. Like, if I had done the top free agents this year, Ed Oliver would have been in the top 15. He would have been making a ton of money as a free agent.
Yeah, it's an absolutely core position in the McDermott defense. And I look at these deals, and, you know, I'm not as contract nerd-oriented as some, I would say. But, like, 2 or 3 years from now, it looks fine.
It'll look better. I mean, it'll look good. And I think they know him and they like him. So I think they see things too that maybe I don't see in the PFF models. And when he beats guys, he beats them bad. And they signed a couple players this offseason, people think like Puna Ford, that maybe like, okay, he's not like the best run defender in the world, but let's just open him up to do everything he does as well as possible, which is rush the passer.
And there's an extent where if you're the Buffalo Bills, you're not necessarily needing Ed Oliver to be a run-stopping defensive tackle. Like, you're going to want to score points. You're going to want to get after the quarterback. And that's the tough thing about modeling all of the numbers and the grades is, what is the particular coaching staff asking this player to do on this play? And so that...
Hey, that's a good point.
Of course, they are, like, the people who do these things are the best in the world at what they do, but they don't necessarily have all the context all the time.
That's why we called in Patrick on his week off. We apologize that for you doing that.
This is fun.
We got an open spot. Like, who do we call? We call Colleen or Patrick.
Yeah.
It's one of the two.
That's the go-to.
That's really the way to make the show sing. And Leonard Floyd, quickly, these are one of the signings that don't get much attention, the post-June signings or May signings. And he's going to end up having some huge game in a big spot. And he's going to play better than, I would say, 70% of the defensive linemen that were taken in the first round of the NFL draft. We spent so much time on those guys. But I mean, this year, he'll be good. He'll be like Justin Houston for the Ravens. I actually did some homework, some source work on Leonard Floyd right after he got cut, because I was like, man, I thought Leonard Floyd played well. Asked some Rams people, what do you think of Leonard Floyd? And they were just like, look, he's still a league average or even better starter. He's just we can't afford him the way that his contract was struck. And if we can get him back this offseason, we would love to. And I don't think he really wanted to do that. I think if he was going to take less money, he wanted a new experience.
But to your point, Patrick, he's not missed a game. He's durable. And he was 6-0.
He was the third best player on our defense was the response I got. So.
And when they lost Von Miller, that defense suffered. And so it's you want as many edge rushers as you can possibly get.
Hit the quarterback 22 times last year was most of his entire career.
So the Dalvin Cook situation has been hanging out there this offseason. I thought the most interesting part of Dalvin Cook's journey this offseason, in terms of his news journey, his Roto-World player blurb journey, was when the Minnesota Vikings one day took him down as part of the background of their Twitter profile, where they have three players. And I think it's, I will check now, but I think it's Jefferson, Cousins, and Madison, which is kind of random. And it was Dalvin Cook, and now it's Madison. I was like, oh, that's something. But he's still on the team, and there's still this open question whether he's going to be on the team. But there were multiple little reports out there over the weekend that I thought would be worth hitting on. One was from Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, that thought the Dolphins would be the most likely team to trade for Cook. And then another one, which was from the Miami Herald, Barry Jackson, who said that the Cook to the Dolphins would be a, quote, real possibility. But they thought maybe if he got released, that they would wait to see if he'd get released. So either way, a lot of Dolphins Cook talk. Patrick Claybon, what do you think?
And it makes sense. But in looking back to the way we felt about Mike McDaniels in year one, it's like, oh, this is going to be Shanahan East, and they're going to run the ball. And most of the action was balls to Jalen and Tyreek.
Right.
And I don't know that our vision of what the Dolphins are is a representation of who the running backs were last year. Does Dalvin necessarily change that? I'm not sure it does. From a fantasy perspective, I would know how to feel about it. I just know Dalvin's still a really good player. He had health issues. News flashed, this is football. Everybody on any given play is going to have some problems. But I think it makes sense. But I don't necessarily know how much sense it makes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it struck me as a bit of an odd landing spot. They've got Raheem Mostert. They've got Jeff Wilson, Miles Gaskin. I mean, I guess the one thing I do think that would be similar to Shanahan's approach, even though last year, you're right, the run was not their strength necessarily, that the Niners have no problem using five different running backs. And so I could
Dolphins,
see them.
Yeah.
Well, no, but the Niners do. Sure. So I'm saying that Mike McDaniel in Miami might have the
same.
Similar approach, right?
Yeah. So far.
Yeah. So I don't hate the pairing. Cook is also spends his off season in South Florida. He's down there. Maybe that appeals to him on some level. We'll see. I think he's not going to be
NFL.
A Viking. Though.
Half the NFL is in South Florida.
I just don't think he's. It feels like he's
like
out
nice
of Minnesota. Don't you think?
Yeah. It feels like it's over.
It's weird though. He's on the roster, but that's
how
we felt.
That's a great point, Mark.
It's how we felt about Za'Darius Smith for a while, and he truly was off the roster eventually. Now he's a member
after he threw the going away party for himself.
Right. So maybe the Vikings are trying to wait out, just getting a late pick. His cap number is $14 million. They are super close to the cap in terms of if they need any extra money to just sign some people here or there. He's due 10.4, but he's a little different than most of these other running backs we talk about because he still looks good to me. Yeah. And I know he had a little injury and maybe last year he wasn't as good, but I feel like there's a 50-50 chance you're going to get another peak Dalvin Cook season or two. He averaged 4.4 yards per carry, 7.6 yards per catch last year. He had a number of explosive plays. Like, I don't think he's running to the end of his career. And he played 17 games. Yeah. It's not like he didn't play. He played.
And there's just so much extra value in a running back that you don't have to take off the field. They can do so many. And I know Mike McDaniel values that. And now I'm talking myself into maybe it making more sense. But it's going to be hard to see Dalvin somewhere else in my mind. But I know that based on the way that the Vikings are moving, it feels really
like a jarring jersey switch for you.
Yeah, it's very jarring. I've loved Cook as a pro, and I don't know. There's not many players on defense I trust for the Vikings. So it's like, is it such a bad idea if you're trying to win football games in year 2023 to just keep Madison and Cook another year because he's the most explosive player outside of Jefferson? I guess they have a lot of explosive players. They got Addison now too. I like Osborne, but it's like, why not have more?
If it's not, then show me what you're spending the $14 million on. Don't go 2022 Cowboys and save the money. Mm. And then it's just like, oh, that's money. Right. And it's like, oh, it would be nice to have
a
player.
He's thriving in Florida.
it could be some like long-term deals. It could be Justin Jefferson. So it could,
if that's the case, then yeah.
It might make some sense, but I don't know who their backup would be in that situation, by the way. It's Ty Chandler. It was a fifth round pick a year ago. Dwayne McBride and
Go Blazers.
Kenny Nwango, who I'm not familiar with.
Like an injury away from
Nwango is the kick returning specialist, who's one of the more explosive players you'll ever see in your life.
Not going to play much running back. You always give CJ Ham a carry or two. That's fun. All right, let's finish with just like a what if scenario that we'd heard about this before, but it was a little more confirmed from Greg Bishop, who's a reporter I really trust and respect. Always really good. And he always knows the Seattle scene, especially. And he mentioned in an article how Russell Wilson to the Eagles was maybe even closer than we thought, that it was more Russell Wilson's side that was not big on it. He made it sound like Russell Wilson all but turned down a potential Eagles trade. So the Eagles and Howie Roseman, who's in number one on my GM list and all this stuff, like, it very well could have been Russell Wilson to Allen Robinson last year instead of Jalen Hurts to A.J. Brown. So sometimes you got to get a little bit of luck here, too, because I know the coaching would have helped them play better than Allen Robinson to Russell Wilson sounds like, but they would not have been in the Super Bowl one possession away from winning.
I love that for the Eagles. What is
that? I mean, to me, I think probably Jalen Hurts had something to do with it. You're in a competition if you go to Philadelphia versus the fact that in Denver there was nothing but a clear avenue to start. The Commanders...
Would it have been, though, with a contract? I mean, I would have guessed they were just icing Hurts. This is where I do wonder about it a little bit.
Because Hurts was on this like constant audition for his job until he suddenly... They get A.J. Brown, and we see 1 year later, we think completely different about him. He's an MVP-level quarterback. Like, you're right. The fates swung in Philadelphia's favor there because everything we saw from Russell Wilson tells me that the Eagles would have been in a very dark place had that gone down.
Yeah, and hindsight, looking back on it, it's like, oh, it was always going to be Jalen. But there was a significant portion of last year, and I don't know what Howie and the folks in Philly were thinking, but there was a discussion like, oh, well, you know, the Eagles are so good. You know, you're going to put Gardner Minshew in, and the offense is going to – and then it happened.
Right.
It was like, oh, okay. Well, this is...
Right, so like luck – there are these moments, and actually Justin Jefferson going to the Eagles instead of Jalen Reagor is another one I think about often, and that would have been a totally – different what if that so that one didn't work out well for them either. This one worked out great, and this actually is backing up what our guy Ian Rapoport said last offseason. I think it kind of fell under the radar, where he thought he was pretty convinced Wilson would land with the Eagles, but Wilson wouldn't budge on his preference that Denver was always his number one choice, and he really was trying to get to Denver.
I feel like the money probably has a bit of a factor as well.
Right.
Right.
Would have Philly
having those discussions.
Would have Philly giving him all that money that Denver did? I don't know. But I'm much more excited to watch the Eagles. I mean, than I would have been with that combination. All right. That's it for news. And I'm excited to start what's going to be, you know, a regular segment. I'm just going to call it now. We're bringing this back. I don't know.
Okay.
The test.
Well, heck yeah. You can check and see how it goes first.
Regular June segments, baby. Let's get it.
They We didn't really agree on what spiciest player meant. So we're going to talk the spiciest players on each team. And I said
spicy.
I left that to interpretation. Personally, I interpreted the word different depending on the situation. I think the word spicy is flexible. And that's one of the reasons why I like it.
One thing that I did, though, because you could argue that you could have 80% quarterback talk here if we wanted. I tried to veer away from like the obvious star quarterback person to find something else that I feel is sort of an X factor, tipping point type player for various teams.
I feel similar. But sometimes it's just some people give off a spicy vibe. Sometimes star quarterbacks do. So I may have I may have one in there.
What's a spicy vibe?
I mean, just feel it. It's hard to explain. You know when it's happening.
I'll let my players speak for themselves, and I'll say that. You know, someone who's a little feisty, a little spicy, gives you a little extra.
Okay, spicy. Like, if you're spicy.
It's like you see that player a little bit, and it's almost like the spicy aftertaste of something that's sneaky spicy, where 30 seconds later, you're like, wow, there's a little more to that player.
Okay, I'm feeling that now.
Fully expected. All right, we're going to go through all 32 teams. Always dangerous when we do this. So we are going to put a clock on it. Eric, give us a whistle after 90 seconds. We don't need a warning. We're not going to talk the 90 seconds, you know, just one person or anything. But do give us a whistle after 90 seconds.
You got it.
And then we'll move on. We're going to start in the AFC North with Mark. Let's go.
The Baltimore Ravens. I have identified my spicy player is J.K. Dobbins. I know that with Todd Monken, there's going to be, and we're hearing Lamar Jackson tell people, I'm going to throw for 6,000 yards. No, you're not. I do like the weapons there in a much better way, but we have Dobbins. It's still going to be a Baltimore Ravens team that's going to need to run the ball here and there, and he's another year removed from a pretty complex ACL surgery. I think last year, I like this assignment because I went and watched a little bit of him, and there are still plays where you see the power in the explosion. I think his speed was a little bit off, but this is a guy that was a 99th percentile in his 40-yard dash, a 96th percentile speed score before he was drafted. He has a career 5.9 yards per carry, and this was a dominant college player who's shown it in flashes. And if you get the best version of Dobbins, it only makes that offense that is going to be more balanced that much more of a threat.
I mean, checking out tape, that's spicy. Yeah. Mark's outfits lately, spicy. I love it because I think about our guy Spice Rack, who loved J.K. Dobbins. I just put that together. And he always compared him to Emmitt Smith in that he thinks his feel and his vision of like getting 7 yards when there's maybe only 3 to get is elite. And that's spicy.
And there were clearly moments where you could see the speed, the power, the burst. And you also at the same time saw that he was clearly playing on one leg.
Right.
And
right.
It's like he's doing this. Less than a year removed from surgery, that was an extensive surgery, as you said, against professionals and still having success. I'm with you on the spice. Load it up.
All right. Well, right on time, too.
Let's go Bengals. So this I had a few good options, but the Mike Hilton is my spicy player. And this is an interpretation of spicy where I just think he plays spicy. He mixes it up. But I also wanted to mention him because I think he's a good example of like what makes the Bengals great. They're really good at taking veterans from other teams that were good on other teams and actually knowing how to use them too. And I think that's an underrated quality. I think they're a spicy defense because they can change who they are depending on the week. Some weeks will be big Mike Hilton weeks where they have him blitzing, they have him mixing it up. He's not as good in coverage, but they know how to hide him. Some weeks it's not as big a Mike Hilton week. And so to me, that's sort of a great example of what makes the Bengals great. But I think they've brought together a lot of spicy players, a lot of veterans who play hard. And Mike Hilton to me is like a great Bengal.
Mike Hilton was a Wes favorite too. And I think it's good scouting inside your own division because he was an underrated Steeler. And you pull him away from your rival. And then with Lou Anarumo, I think what he does on a week-to-week basis, the way he creates matchups, and to your point, uses players differently in different matchups, it's a perfect landing spot for Mike Hilton.
At some points in the game, especially in the postseason, Mike Hilton transforms into a 5'9", 185-pound edge rusher.
Right.
And is incredible at it. And it's like, what is this guy doing? How does it work? That's why he's so
spicy. If I was a player, I would want to be like a Mike Hilton spicy, feisty player. I'm trying to get Walker to get on board with this. He likes playing football on the beach, but I'm trying to get him a little more.
Well, the one time that I played to other ball with Walker at Colleen's Gonzo's house, he was calling himself a cornerback and a defensive back. So you're right there.
There it is.
Spicy. All right, you got the Browns.
Patrick. I got the Cleveland Browns. And okay, so my context for spicy, it was like, what's a spicy take that I have about a player who maybe has a reason to be a little spicy about his circumstances, and it's Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore celebrates a touchdown at Ole Miss. The whole world implodes like, oh, my God, he's pretending to be a dog. This is the worst thing that ever happened. He's a bad person. Then he goes to the Jets where he's essentially doing cardio for a quarterback room that doesn't necessarily work. The coaches don't. And now he's out. And now he's in Cleveland. And this is a guy who's 23 years old who has plenty of talent. I think he can make it happen. I don't know what the quarterback situation. I almost went with Nick Chubb because they were a team that was good, and then they make the quarterback change, and all of a sudden they're not good, as good as they were. And Nick Chubb deserves a team. He's been so good for so long. But Elijah Moore is spicy to me because I think in terms of where he's being drafted right now, I know ADP fantasy-wise, it's June, it's early June, but I think he's going to outperform that significantly.
And we're just a couple years removed from a summertime full of Elijah Moore hype and how dominant he was. I think I like the situation in Cleveland because they really needed wideouts. He's got a chance to be a big contributor, especially if they get better quarterback play. I still think Cleveland is a potential landing spot for DeAndre Hopkins. They've been whispered about here and there. That would change things a little bit more. I think I can't wait to see what he does.
He would compliment him. His routes are spicy. I went and watched those routes as a rookie, and I was, I think, one of the people leading the hype last offseason thinking he was going to be great because he just makes dudes look bad. He fits well in today's NFL. All right, Mark, Steelers.
All right. There were a lot of ways I could go here, and this maybe feels a little more obvious, but George Pickens, because, again, it was just like watching some of his incredible contested catches, and he had the one catch against the Browns, I believe it was Thursday Night Football, where he's just essentially spinning around and catching it behind his back. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are things happening that normal human beings will never accomplish physically, but they're happening with him. He's a massive asset for Kenny Pickett, and if you look at this offense, Najee Harris, Pickett, Pickens, Jalen Warren, Pat Freiermuth, Darnell Washington, Deontay Johnson, Allen Robinson, we'll see. But the rebuilt offensive line, there aren't a lot of excuses for the Steelers as a group. We saw it down the stretch last year to make a big step up. And I think that Pickens is this complete game-changing element in that offense.
He gets the highlight plays, but he's pretty good at the regular just slant routes too. I know he doesn't do well in an exercise like Matt Harmon, our friend, does the reception. And he's maybe not a totally complete receiver yet, and so Pickens doesn't score that highly in that, but that reminds me a little bit of DK Metcalf in that you can get better at those other things, but you have the one thing that's already dominant. Lean into that. That's spicy.
And you can, the spice comes out to me in just how twitchy he is as a mover, where he has these highlight pancake blocks almost every other week. Like every third week, there's a corner that's lined up and George Pickens just puts him on the dirt. And it's like, where's this coming from? He's a very explosive guy. And I think just like a lot of, the spices, the capsaicin.
I've said the Steelers are going to the playoffs.
Right. You have. You need a little something to juice up Pickett, who doesn't seem as spicy. I got the Texans. I thought about Stroud and I was kind of avoiding quarterbacks too because Stroud makes better throws than people give him credit for. But I'm going to go Jalen Petrie because as I look at this exercise, a way to talk about someone maybe we haven't hit on this show much, but seems like he's going to be a guy we are hitting on more in the coming years because he was one of the best defensive rookies in the NFL last year. He was second among tackles. He missed a lot of tackles too. Like he's the type of guy who's trying to make big plays and he made a lot of big plays. I think of that Chiefs game, where they were kind of close against Mahomes and he gave a lot of trouble. He forces turnovers. He intercepts the ball. He's just everywhere and they love him. He can do a little bit of everything. You can play him near the line of scrimmage, but he's not going to kill you in coverage. And he hits. He seems like he's one of the few players who's figured out how to hit in today's NFL. Maybe because he's come up that way. I don't know. And the rules have been different, but he hits consistently and he hits hard. And Texans fans like on Twitter love them some Jalen Petrie. So shout out to them.
I think it's a lot of players who maybe should be spicy are the players who were on the Texans when they weren't necessarily putting this effort as they are in 2023. Because looking at like the bones that are there,
yeah,
and now D'Amico comes in, there's something to believe in. Whereas like, and Petrie's a huge part of that. Whereas
it's Derek Stingley could too. We just didn't see it as much.
Yeah, like what's the commitment? But now you can see it.
That's what's going to happen. If I honk too long,
that's how it works.
We move on. Patrick, you got the Colts.
Okay. I will take the Indianapolis Colts, and I will take a quarterback, and it's not the quarterback you think. Because is Gardner Minshew going to play? Whoa. Like, there's so many schools of thought regarding, like, oh, if the quarterback doesn't have a lot of success instantly, then his mind's not going to work anymore, and he's not going to be a good football player anymore. Like, I think if you're that mentally fragile, like maybe you weren't going to be successful in the first place, but Gardner Minshew can captivate a population. Like we've seen that. And so if things come in and
this guy to my left here.
If they take the route, if they believe in the idea that, we don't want to ruin Richardson, the Gardner Minshew is going to end up playing. And I think that's spicy.
Well, I also think he is, if you were to rank backup quarterbacks, Minshew is a fringe starter. So I think that it's a great thing to have him behind Richardson if there is some lag in his progress. I trust Shane Steichen, who, they didn't rush Jalen Hurts into the lineup. They took their time there. There's some blueprint on what you do. I do, though, when you have someone like Anthony Richardson, if you're sort of lighting people up in the preseason, even though Gardner Minshew is a really likable, enjoyable player, like, it's a little tough. It's a tough spot because the crowd at the first sign of trouble is going to be going nuts for the idea that you've got this rookie who can do superhuman things on the field. It won't be long before he plays.
I feel like Minshew's, I don't think he's underrated, but he's not overrated. I think because this team has lost so much, when he was in Jacksonville, you ignore that 7.1 yards per attempt for his career. 44 touchdowns, 15 intercepts. Like, he's a good player. Mm-hmm. He could be really good with that coaching. I'm with you. Mark, you are up with the Jags.
All right. So this is where I swerved away from Trevor Lawrence. We'll talk about him all summer. But I think that this is a team that didn't do a whole lot this offseason because they spent so much last offseason to formulate a Doug Peterson offense. But I do love with the trade they pulled off in the middle of last season for Calvin Ridley, who I think we forget about the fact is like we haven't seen him in so long. This is a phenomenal wide receiver who you go back to 2020. He had 1,300 yards, 90 catches, and 9 touchdowns, and discovered midseason that he had been playing on a broken foot. Mm-hmm. So, well, now when the foot is not broken, what's happening? And I mean, it's like, it kind of just like you didn't have the most game-changing draft on the planet. You were quiet in free agency, but this is a legitimate option that changes your passing game and helps fast forward the progress of Trevor Lawrence, who was incredible down the stretch.
That's a great point, Mark. I love that, too, because if you think about Doug Peterson, he seems like he's a good coach for receivers. Like, they got a lot out of Zay Jones. They got a lot out of Christian Kirk. They got a lot out of the receivers when they were in Philadelphia, guys who struggled elsewhere. Like, they should be able to get a lot out of Ridley.
And I think he comes into a room that knows where their strengths are, and he can only be a plus. And like, the numbers are necessary. They're going to change for Zay. They're going to change for Christian. But Calvin Ridley gives you an option. And they're like, they're...
His suspension was not spicy, though. Gambling on sports, not spicy.
But for an NFL spicy. Player.
Go read his Players Tribune article. It goes into context on his decisions, on his foot injury. It's really good. Introspective as well.
I like, Greg, I like that you put the AFC South up earlier because they're always last in these exercises.
There was a reason behind that, but yes, we went in a different order, going north, south, west, east. It's never happened before in a podcast situation. Tennessee. I think of our great friend Justin Graver, who's now doing a great job over at Fox, and I remember he liked it when I said, you got to build the whole plane out of Chig Okonkwo. I mean, Chig Okonkwo, their tight end, defines spice to me. He is the spicy guy. He's made for spice. He's running over guys in the open field. He's big. He's nasty. He looks strong. He's who Mike Vrabel wants. He's like, you go to Koreatown, and you're like, should I get the medium or should I get the spicy? And you have to adjust a little because Koreatown spicy is a little spicier even than your regular Caucasian establishment spicy. I'm not adjusting for spice when it's Chigo Kwanko. I'm cranking up the spice.
Turn it up.
And you do need to build the whole plane out of him, Greg, because like their third wide receiver right now is a fifth round pick, Kyle Phillips. It's like they are very light at wide out. He had these moments last year where he made them so watchable. I mean, just I see it. You can
kind of like Kittle a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like in tight ends, we know they take like a year or two to kind of formulate, and like you can already see these flash moments with him.
And that's a really great call because you're thinking about like 2018 George Kittle, where he was running over everybody, and that's what like on not as good of a team Chigo Kwanko was doing towards the end of the season. Mm-hmm. It's just the Titans were kind of falling apart. Like, what happens if the team gets it together? It's like it's gonna be all Chig all the time, baby.
I'll be disappointed if he has the career route of Jonnu Smith, who I once similarly loved and was in a similar spot.
He needs Arthur back.
What a time to take a break. We haven't done it yet, and we are going to hear from our sponsors. Let's do it.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
All right, we are back, and we are going to the team that Russell Wilson did land with, the Denver Broncos, Patrick.
It's Russell Wilson.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because things were just so bad, and it can never be just on one person when things are that bad. It took a cavalcade of errors and just bad football, bad planning, bad implementation. And I think the outcomes are going to be better. They got better towards the end of the season. But I think if you're going to believe in a player and have that belief be spicy, considering the conversation last year, the spiciest player to believe in on the Denver Broncos is Russell Wilson.
Well, and everything pivots around what happens there. I mean, it's like it wasn't an Urban Meyer situation, but they just seemed like massively disorganized from a coaching staff perspective. There was, reports that Wilson was out there sort of calling Seahawks types plays. He didn't know the playbook. He was sort of lost on the field.
Right. He might have been the Urban Meyer as the problem.
Yeah. I bet Sean Payton, though, is not going to run a disorganized ship. So.
Right. He wasn't as unlikable. Spice, it's an interesting because you think him, you don't think Spice, but it's almost like, remember when Normcore was a thing? I don't know if you remember that. I don't know if that's still happening. We're just wearing like really basic clothes.
I'll Google it.
Like dadcore, almost like wearing the most basic clothes possible was
like,
suddenly
like men's
trendy.
Fashion in general, basically.
Right. So Russell Wilson is almost so vanilla, boring that he can be spicy.
Now,
he's a fun he was a fun player in the past, and he's got good players, and he's got a great coach. So that's totally fair that he could be an entertaining player.
I could also see him potentially benched by week 6 or 7 for Jarrett Stidham if he is the guy from last season.
See, my fear is, and my expectations, he'll be sort of in the middle. He'll just be like the 13th best quarterback in the league and won't be that bad. Let's go, Mark, Chiefs.
All right. Well, I don't know where how else to do this because, again, it's like, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is spicier, but like Kadarius Toney to me is on a kind of a bit of a weird wideout group for the Chiefs right now. They're already talking him up as having a pretty clear path to being the number one receiver. Now, I think part of it is like, that's great. When he's healthy, he does things that are a total fascination. Can he stay healthy? Can you really rely on him to play that role? But I mean, I have to feel like if you're Andy Reid, you could spend a full straight month in the offseason devising trickery and elements of Kadarius Toney, because we saw it in the Super Bowl. I mean, he had the game-changing touchdown, the longest punt return in Super Bowl history. I just don't see why at this point. He also had the highest target rate of any wideout on the team last year. So it's like they were starting to use him more and more. Can you project him into a big, big role as a number one guy? We'll see.
I worry.
The number one guy is always going to be Travis Kelce. It's tough to say that he's going to be the number one guy, but if Kadarius Toney is on the field, like, Andy Reid's going to utilize him, and that's a good thing. If you're a fantasy manager, if you're the Chiefs, especially, because Patrick Mahomes is going to distribute. Now, is he going to get 129 balls? Probably not, but that's because you have a really good quarterback that's going to make the right decisions.
Could he be 70 for 1,000?
Yeah,
I think so, but he's got to stay healthy, and it worries me. I will always remember, from my vantage point at that Super Bowl, how the blocking sort of set up for that punt return, and he could see it, and he like takes that step one way, and you're like, oh my God, this is going to change the entire game. And you almost scored. I think he probably wishes he scored. Ran out of gas. You know who doesn't run out of gas? The Chargers. Wait, they totally do in a big spot. But Justin Herbert doesn't. So I avoided Spicy. I'd avoided star quarterbacks too, Mark, except for this one. I just was like, don't forget that Justin Herbert is one of the most talented players we've ever seen. I was thinking in the context of this podcast, I would put Herbert with Andrew Luck, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson as the most talented, pure capital T talented quarterbacks that I've seen come into league. Now, Josh Allen, you could throw in there now after the fact, but I didn't know he could throw the ball like he could, and that's on me. But Herbert is that guy, and I think with new coaching and the best group around him, and it's year 4, he's a smart dude who's learned a lot as a pro. Man, I think he can take that next level and be even spicier than ever.
I think it was mismanaged last year. No one liked the offensive coordinator, the system in general. He played through injury. I mean, I think other guys would have not been on the field. It's questionable that he should not have been on the field for some of that too. But yeah. I mean, it is the size, the toughness, like the physical traits, and the fact that, like, before he was a starter, like, I thought on Hard Knocks, he came across as a little bit of a floating personality, but they love him, and he is one of the more watchable quarterbacks we've ever
observed.
Not as
spicy off the field. It's fair.
Yeah, and, like, who needs... Maybe he could be spicy in the sense that he's running counter to what everybody else does and how everybody else behaves. Like, maybe we could view that as spicy. And, like, looking at even the playoff loss, right? Travis Etienne out-touched Austin Eckler after the second half. Like, and the Chargers had that massive lead. Like, that's not on Justin.
It's not, but it was a little bit of a disappointing second half. I don't think he played. He did not. It wasn't that he got robbed. He didn't play great either.
Defense also could have got a stop.
Right. That would help. Raiders, Patrick, wrapping up the West.
I will take a really good player. I will take arguably the best receiver in football and say it's Davante Adams, because Davante comes to Las Vegas. He's playing with his college teammate. And then that all falls apart. And now it's like, what's going on? Like, what is this organization's plan? And people are maybe saying, oh, I'm low on Davante. He's still that dude. He is still him. That is Davante Adams. I am not necessarily doubting him. I think he's going to outperform, even though it's like a top 15 ADP. I think he's still Davante Adams. He's still going to get open. I have questions about the quarterback. He should have questions about the franchise situation, but I think he's spicy.
I mean, he survived bad quarterback play last year and had a monster season. So it's kind of like a trick. There's just like a cheat code type player where it doesn't really matter. He's been with a bunch of, like, I think for him, like, the quarterback play with Rodgers is one thing, but he wanted so badly to prove that he could do it without Aaron Rodgers last year, and he absolutely did. And it's TBD on Jimmy Garoppolo's health, but I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is a step down from Carr. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big difference. I'm with you. I had someone at a school event ask me, you know, sometimes you get the football talk at the school event. Is Davante Adams still the best wide receiver in the league? Like, how would you rank him, Jefferson? I forgot who else they threw in there. Maybe it was Diggs and Chase as the top four. And I was like, I don't know. I think Adams is close to there, but at this point, I would take Jefferson and Chase maybe if I'm ranking 1, 2, 3. But that's not fair. I'm almost projecting because he's 30. It hasn't happened yet.
All these guys have such unique skill sets and the circumstances. Right. They're all good. Yes.
He is in that group. We are going on to the AFC East, and this is when Eric is going to step in. He's been helping us edit the shows lately.
Yep.
He's also a Bills fan. And he's going to tell us who the spiciest Bill is.
Right, we're going back-to-back wide receivers here. Davante Adams to Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. I feel like he's got a little bit of everything. What kind of spice you want? He's cryptic in the offseason. It's every year where is he happy? Is he leaving? Buffalo fans are always in civil war over him. He believes in himself. He's always on the sidelines. I am him. He's great at what he does. He gets hot. He gets picked up on hot mics, cussing out Patriots fans. He's got the full ball of spice. What kind of spice you want? Hot, you want tangy, everything. Stephon Diggs, guys.
I love that. And unbelievably talented and known as sort of the hardest worker in the room in that he feels confident getting on others when they don't live up to his standard.
Would it be spicy if he staged a summertime holdout?
Oh, it would be very spicy. I mean, it might as well be at this point. Buffalo fans are up and
it's not a big deal, though. Do we know if he's coming to the mandatory minicamp?
I would very much like it if he did.
Okay, but we don't know. Yeah. I mean, if skipping the non-mandatory stuff, who cares? There's a million players doing that all around the league, including like well-respected veterans that aren't getting any attention. Yeah.
And there's a fine structure tied to it anyway. Like if he doesn't go, it's his choice. I still think Stephon Diggs is going to be a good football player in 2023, regardless of where he shows up for minicamp.
Right. I would have him solidly in my top five receivers. I know his numbers weren't quite as good last year, or maybe they were, and I'm just totally wrong. But I don't care. He can get open.
I like that Eric quietly made this 3 minutes long.
No, he didn't. He was quick on it.
We got 3, 2, 1. Here we go. Stop that. Whistle there.
I couldn't have been more wrong on his numbers being lower last year. He had 1,429 yards, 11 touchdowns.
He had a little bit of a down. 108 catches. He had a little bit of a quiet month in the middle of the season somewhere. I had him on his fantasy team, so I would know.
I couldn't have been more wrong, though. He has lit it up. Dude, he's going to, looking at his numbers now, he could go to the Hall of Fame. He is going to have a realistic chance. Now that I look at it, he's got the all pros. He's got the numbers. Like if he keeps stacking years. Next up, Mark, you got the Dolphins.
I am going a little bit of a different direction here because it's not a player. It is a coach. It is Vic Fangio.
Ooh.
I think that, it's so all Dolphins talk is always like two of this, two of that. The wide receivers, you know, they maybe want to add Dalvin Cook. I get it. It's always going to be that way with this team under Mike McDaniel. But Jalen Phillips, Christian Wilkins, Bradley Chubb, Jalen Ramsey, Xavier Howard, Andrew Van Ginkle. There's like seven more people I could name. If you go look at their defense, essentially analytically on PFF's like team page, there is no real weakness here. And I think that in this division where it's going to be like dog eat dog, like this is the defense that I think can put lights out on Buffalo, could rattle the Jets. Patriots offense doesn't scare me. It's like this defense to me has a chance to be special. And everywhere that Vic Fangio goes, it's like, yes, he flips the switch. And I think this is quietly one of the better coaching staffs in the league because McDaniel is special to me as a head coach. He does something different than other coaches do.
And I know that there's probably people who are like, well, Vic Fangio came in and, you know, consulted with the Eagles before playing Patrick Mahomes. Like, come on. Like,
right.
Sometimes things don't necessarily work out, but I love it. Vic is spicy.
Yeah.
Looking back to the interview, he's a spicy individual.
He's a bit cantankerous. I had to interview him once. I think I mentioned it was just like he didn't want to speak on any level.
I couldn't help but think he once kind of buried Bradley Chubb publicly, and now Bradley Chubb is playing for him. But then I heard some, I think there were some Bradley Chubb comments like he loves Vic Fangio. He's the type of guy that can bury you a little publicly, but they love him behind the scenes. I'm going to do the Patriots. I have Christian Barmore as my spicy player. So this is interpreting spicy in that I just think he's integral to what's going to happen to this team. I think their front seven, especially their defensive line, could be very spicy, as good as it's been in 6 years or so, since kind of the Chandler Jones peak. And I think Barmore is the key to it all because he was really their best player as a rookie, which really doesn't happen much as an interior player, was hurt last year, wasn't quite as impactful. I think Bill Belichick's very high on him, but just didn't pop as much a year ago. And if he comes back and now is a third-year player who's been in that scheme and they know how to use him and he lives up to his potential, I think you could see him as an all-pro type of player and take that unit, which is, to me, very deep and talented, to another level where they're one of the best groups in the entire NFL.
I thought you might go Bill O'Brien there because so much, if it's on that.
I didn't think coaches. That's a good way to think about it. I wish I did.
Some of these teams, there's like, it all kind of rests on
he
that.
Is
but
spicy.
This is a Bill Belichick type player. You said it. I mean, it's just like, and I trust Belichick just to continue to make him the star that he is.
Yeah. And there's been, of course, looking back, you know, Dante took that year off, but he eventually retired. And like, people talk about this, you know, Belichick and Saban relationship, and it's like, oh, the players come in and it doesn't necessarily. Here's another instance where they got a good player at a good spot. Probably Barmore could have gone a little bit earlier, but he fell to New England and it's worked out. Like it's one of those, as much as we criticize when they take somebody, it doesn't work out. This is a hit. This is a win for Bill.
Absolutely. Needs to get on the field a little more. Patrick, you got the Jets wrapping up the AFC.
Oh, so much young talent. So many guys who had good rookie seasons, and I'm going to take one of them, but it's not the one you think. Mekhi Becton had a great season in 2020. He has a catastrophic knee injury. It takes a little bit longer, and people are out on him. It's like, oh, yeah, he's not trying hard because, no. I think it's spicy to believe in Mekhi Becton, a guy who had so much promise. Dwayne Brown recently had surgery, and so it's going to move Mekhi Becton up a little bit, his circumstance to get on the field. And I think he's closer to being back. And I have a spicy belief in Mekhi Becton. Despite the fact there's a guy who's very spicy, he's going to be his quarterback, I think it's spicy to believe in Mekhi.
It is. There's a high variance for what we could get from him, but yeah, there have been very positive offseason reports. I think you're right that the stories of him maybe not being the most driven individual on the planet are in the past at this point. That left side of the line, if he turns out to be the guy that we think he is, Laken Tomlinson at guard, Joe Tippmann at center. I mean, it's Vera Tucker at right guard. You start to see it, and it's like it's absolutely critical that Aaron Rodgers is kept upright.
The way that like career arcs go, even if Becton has an up and down career, I feel like he is maybe going to be good for one season or two seasons where like he's a difference maker, and this would make sense as that type of season. Like they haven't given up on him. He's shown he has talent. He showed that as a rookie. How are we feeling at halftime here?
I feel good.
I mean, we bit off a lot here.
What's this our halftime show? What did you prepare?
I mean, Claybon's in shorts here. I don't know. Maybe
it's June. Yeah.
I don't know what the halftime show would be here, but he looks more just ready for one.
We got Taylor and Beyonce are coming this summer and fall over at SoFi. I guess if people are listening to this,
we're
after
gonna
that,
sit here till then.
They could play. They could play that.
No, okay. I'm feeling good. I don't need like a snack or anything.
I'm ready to delve into the third quarter.
Well, we also drive up to SoFi, and people would know this from out of town. It's right next to the old Forum, which is where the Lakers used to play, which they now have turned into a concert venue. And they have some big acts there, but then you also have ones where Bryan Adams is playing soon with Joan Jett as his what do they call it? You know, opening band.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, Bryan Adams playing a 8,000 person stadium in the year 2023 with Joan Jett. Surprise! I'm a little surprised.
It is interesting around our workplace because whenever one of these shows occur, whether it's at SoFi or the Forum, you just see a very different, from show to show, the crowds that gather. And this is going to be a lot of dudes and chicks in their 40s and 50s listening to Bryan Adams. But then there was one band that showed up and it was like hundreds of like moms and young girls and kitty cat ears walking around.
Well,
Suga,
so. I might be saying his name wrong, like a solo act from BTS was there last week. And yeah, the place was swarmed for days.
I mean, the Intuit Dome is going to be done pretty soon. And then we could just have three wide concerts all the time.
So that's where the Clippers are going to play, which is about to be about two blocks away. And the key in the Forum where the concerts is literally like sharing a parking lot.
Veering on commute from hell, I promise.
It's going to be a lot. All right.
Dig a tunnel.
That was our halftime show. Mark, you're going to kick us off in the NFC North with the Bears.
All right. DJ Moore. I think this pickup, when we talk about what happened with Jalen Hurts a year ago. You go get A.J. Brown, and suddenly the whole offense starts to sing. And I think that Justin Fields, having done QB Index, I'd always get these tweets when as he climbed up and up the rankings. And it was, Joe, he can run, he can do nothing else. He did improve as a passer. There was a stretch of the season where you started to see it. And I think it's fair to expect that jump. And I think DJ Moore is the kind of guy that only he can separate. He had more average, more yards of separation last season than every receiver in the league other than Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, and Davante Adams, who we've talked about here. I love that fit for Justin Fields. And I think that if you're Ryan Poles went out and got the kind of player, it was a very savvy trade. And I think we all look at that, the fact that the Bears, you know, there's no winner of that trade yet, but that to go get DJ Moore, I think it completely changed what they can do on offense. And Moore's already shown that he can do it. So it's not a draft guy you're hoping hits. You know he will.
Right. He is a guy like every team could use. Sometimes you get carried away of like, you need to search for the true number one. This, that. Like, he reminds me of like a basketball player that's like a wing that can hit threes and defend. Like, literally every team could use DJ Moore, and he's going to make them way better.
Yeah, there were points during late last season where you had the lesser St. Brown brother and Chase Claypool were like the best guys out in the route for Chicago. And it's like,
Equanimous?
Equanimous?
Equanimous. That's the right.
I didn't feel like
it. I mean, the Mr. Universe dad. Like Amon-Ra.
That's right.
Picking Amon-Ra, though, as my lion. I could have. He's pretty spicy. But I'm going to go Jahmyr Gibbs. There was so much focus on the value of that pick, taking a running back there and who else they could have taken. And I think a little bit less on, okay, how is he going to fit into this offense? What's he going to do? I am excited as a fan of football to watch him in this offense because you have a road grading offensive line, just a big group that's played together. You have a great coordinator in Ben Johnson. And I hear the Lions fans that push back when I was like, did they upgrade that much at running back overall? Because like their last group was good. Maybe the last group looked better than it really was because the scheme and the line are so good. Jahmyr Gibbs might be the number one home run hitter in this offense for the first 6 weeks of the season. I think he is until Jameson Williams is back. He's the guy that can take it to the house.
I found it a little curious. I like the pick, and I think it's like, why not? Go get those guys. Like, but it was a bit of a curious overhaul at the position. Maybe it had to do with the Lions.
They were down on Swift for sure.
Well, I think, yeah, whatever. I mean, you could see that as the way the season played out, but I'm not a huge believer in David Montgomery as a big like upgrade over any of those guys from last season. So, you know, this is the coaching staff self-scouting.
Yeah, it's got to be Gibbs. And looking, well, because I know that a lot of criticism will come in. It's like, well, he had that success. He was playing with a Heisman Trophy winner, number one overall pick, but go back to his time at Georgia Tech. He was still at like 5.8 yards per carry at Tech. Like, this is a guy who's been right around 6 yards a carry every single season in college football. I think it translates.
Montgomery, no spice.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes on the soup options, you can get mild.
Yeah.
But there's actually an option, no spice. Like, if kids are going.
Anti-spice soup.
No spice. Randy Chavez is stepping up.
Talk to me.
He's usually in the back helping produce and helping us behind the scenes, but he's a big-time Packers fan. He's going to give us spiciest Packer. Randy, what's up?
In my lifetime, the Packers have had a quarterback. They've had the receiver. They've had selective defensive players. You could argue they have the running back right now. The one piece of the puzzle the Packers have never had is a dynamic tight end.
Ooh.
And I feel like this year may be the year, the beginning of a dynamic career. My spicy pick is rookie tight end Luke Musgrave.
Okay.
At 6'6", running a 4.6, a 4.6 40. I mean, he's dynamic. It's a tight end that moves like a receiver. LaFleur says he does have an elite trait in that he can flat fly and he's a large target. I mean, look at the last five Super Bowls. The last four out of the last five winners have had a dynamic tight end. This could be the missing piece, maybe.
Are you worried at all? He's just so tall. When he's running down the field, I worried like he's going to get hurt, and he has been hurt.
I mean, that was sort of my thing when it was like Gronk. When Gronk was running around, I was like, how is this practical?
But he was thick, yeah.
It doesn't even – I mean, you can get thicker, right? Hit the gym. Let's get the gains up, you know? But I think at 6'6 and already running a 4'6, that's something
it's outrageous.
You just can't treat.
Well, Gronk was built like a robot from outer space, but like Brady would send Gronk on missions, and Gronk would accept those missions and for some reason maintained his relationship with Tom. But I just think to a certain extent, if your quarterback's getting you blasted, that that's on the court.
Well, what's better for like a Jordan Love who's starting his career essentially now to have right. a tight end you can rely on? I mean, that's like when you don't have that, I think you see young quarterbacks suffer without that element to the offense.
Yeah, I get that. Like, you know, anyone that tall, you're just worried he's going to take a hit, which happened. Maybe it's just because it happened to him in college. But he, a guy that tall, that fast is pretty rare, and he was already taking first team reps. I love it, Randy. You stepped right in out of the park.
Seamless.
Minnesota Vikings, Patrick.
Let's get super spicy. Jalen Reagor is my spicy player on the Minnesota Vikings. No, because it would be easy to take Kirk. It's going to be Kirk in a contract
year. We need some left field picks.
There's going to be plenty of time to talk about Kirk Cousins and his quest for money, which is he's always going to be successful, and he should try to get as much as possible. But, like, so Thielen's out. I think there's a spot open. Jordan Addison is going to come in, but how much action are we expecting the rookie to really get? Like, I think Jalen Reagor is going to be a part of the offense, not necessarily throwaways, but especially in what could be a really Kirk-themed year where the Vikings may be playing from behind a lot. I think there's space for Jalen Reagor in our lives, and he's still an explosive player to me, and Greg has a pained look on his face.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen enough of Reagor. He's played a lot. He had 100 yards last year. I was like, did I miss something? He had 104 yards. He did have some good
spicy.
I feel like he had some. Did he have some return moments? Although not, you know, Nuangu is the better one. That's a spicy pick. There's no question.
I want it to be spicy.
I like KJ Osborne a lot. I kind of feel like Jalen Reagor's sort of playing for his career at this point.
Yeah.
So there will be motivation.
I sort of feel like I came in here and Patrick,
if you believe
said
in motivation,
he needed a few more minutes to finish his spicy homework. And like Reagor was just like a guy he wrote down at the last second.
Initially when I looked at your text, I thought I was just picking 10 spicy players, and then on the way here, it was like, oh, they're from particular teams.
Yeah, I said check the email. Yeah, there was that was a little confusing.
Spicy.
That was tough. I think Reagor is your guy now, though.
I'll put a sandwich on Jalen Reagor, 40 catches.
Okay.
I will take you.
Put that down.
Let's get it.
Nick Fortier, mark it down. Anytime Jalen Reagor makes a play, I'm going to bug Patrick in the newsroom. You got the Falcons, Mark.
All right. I want you to imagine two players kind of arm in arm forming one player. And it's Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier, who is my guy from last season. It's by the way, PFF's fifth overall running back, Tyler Algier. Everyone's like, oh, he's out of the picture now. No, he's not. This offense is going to look like something from the early 80s. And I think that Arthur Smith, he needed a couple seasons to kind of get it into shape. Desmond Ridder, we're sort of waiting to see what he is through the air. But this offensive line, after years of wreckage, they went and signed their own guys. I thought that they built up this powerful offensive line. Bijan Robinson's been used all over the place in minicamp. I think they're going to just find creative ways to unleash him. Algier can come in and hammer you when we're doing other things with Bijan Robinson. They feel like an asteroid just about to destroy defenses. I really am not overstating this. When I think about like my ranking of teams that I'm most interested to watch out of the gate, the Falcons are my kind of football team right now. And I know it's a little bit zigging than when the others are passing heavy all over the place. I think they're going to hammer teams.
They are leaning into it. They're doing it in a way that I thought the Patriots were doing a couple years ago. It's like, okay, everyone's going to get lighter. Let's get heavier. And they're like speaking with their actions. Mac Hollins is their number two running back. You're right. Algier will probably find his way to 175, 200 touches anyways. It's just going to be, I'm kind of with you. The fact that like it's also Drake London and Kyle Pitts as their one and two are these two massive guys who can also do a little blocking.
I think they'll lead the league in rushing attempts. So there's plenty of
There's a lot of carries to go around. And everybody, you know, you can't give Bijan all of that, but he can have a lot of it. And they have the talent to do it.
He's a big dude, Algier. I have the Panthers. I'm going J.C. Horn. I mean, you are born into the Horn family. Spice is part of the equation. It's in the DNA. Anyone who is Joe Horn's son is full of spice. And J.C. Horn looked like a true CB1, like top five cornerback in the league as a rookie. He had that injury. He came back last year. I think when he played was still excellent. And I think he's a guy that Ajiro Evero, their defensive coordinator, will build around. So to me, he seems like a guy, and this can happen at cornerbacks. Cornerbacks can become stars, I think, because of his personality and because of his game. Like, he can develop into a star who's talking a lot of trash and who's backing it up in a defensive-oriented division in general.
I mean, it's sort of like his rookie year last year, because he only played three games as a in his true rookie season. And so, I mean, you do expect a leap. And like, whenever there's a coordinator shift, you're looking at players that may not fit the new scheme necessarily, but not with him. Like, that his scheme, there's no issues with that.
And after the rule departure, it seemed like there was a little bit more of an idea what to do with JC. You're not trying to put JC in a situation where he's making a whole bunch of tackles necessarily at the line of scrimmage. It's a cover guy. He's a pure cover guy. Let's have him cover some people.
There's not that many of those anymore either. I kind of like that. You're going to have to tackle a little bit, like Asante Samuel. Like, you will have to tackle. They'll find you these days. But guys who are just more purely, that's a guy you can leave out on an island, the stereotype. JC Horn. Let's go to Patrick. He's got the Saints.
I've got the Saints, and I've got Juwan Johnson as my spicy player, the guy who came on towards the end of last season, and people are looking at the Carr thing. And I know you guys feel, Carr Garoppolo is one for one. I think Derek Carr is an upgrade over Andy Dalton. I'm sorry, Greg.
I think that's fair. I would agree with that.
No problem with that.
And so we saw what Juwan Johnson was capable of doing. Another year in the same situation, I think it could be a big year for Juwan Johnson, who's the tight end 15 right now. I think more like 9 would probably be appropriate for Juwan Johnson.
I like that Patrick on the fantasy show is giving his fantasy takes. It's good. We need that angle a little more.
The only thing I'd say, though, because I'd take Carr over Dalton, but Dalton, like last season, played with this confidence, especially with the deep ball. And I think that he really unleashed some of their wideouts. And so it's like you hope that that is equal, at least with Carr, who I think when Carr goes into a shell or when he misses, it's like really hard to watch.
But we know he can throw to an athletic tight end. Not that that should be hard for a good quarterback, but I'm with you. Juwan Johnson has shown a lot. He is one of the most successful wide receiver to tight end transitions that I can think of. A lot of teams try that. Sean Payton started the process. And he is really dynamic. He is fluid. I think, did they extend his contract this offseason? That slipped a little under the radar. I could be wrong about that. But he is under contract. I shouldn't just ask questions without knowing. They did extend his contract. How about that?
Well, look at that.
So there we go.
2-year deal for $12 million. So they gave him some short-term money. I think that will age extremely well. Let's go to the Bucks. It's Mark.
All right. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'd just like to bring up a photo here of my player. This is Cody Mock there. This is their right guard, rookie right guard. And he is an interesting individual. The flowing ginger mane, you see it right there. I think their offensive line was a problem last year. You got Tristan Wirfs back. There are some problems, I think, at left guard. Ryan Jensen did not grade out very well. So I think this is part of rebuilding your line. And Cody Mock is a big part of that. I love some of his college story because he didn't really even play in high school at all. He transitioned in college to play this position. He is 6'5", 302 pounds, but very athletic. He ranked out 90th percentile in the 40-yard dash at his position, not against wide receivers, we get that, and 98th percentile in the 3-cone. So he can move, he's agile. They need help at this position, and I think he's sort of got a spicy look to him, if you don't agree.
I totally agree, and this picture we're looking at doesn't even show that he's missing his two front teeth, and I think he has said previously he doesn't plan to fix
them
until after the NFL. He thought, like, well, they could just get messed up again.
I would, there's a significant, like, I love sandwiches. I love biting into delicious food, and I feel like I'd be missing something.
I mean, he doesn't look like he's, lacking for delicious food.
But for the YouTube viewers, because everybody's stationary there, he's literally putting on gloves. Is there a fan?
I don't know.
A gust of wind? His hair is blowing majestically.
That is an excellent take, because it's like...
And so, like, he's not going to throw his hair back like that to put gloves on. Why is his hair flowing?
He's magical. That's what he looks like every
day. I think it's just consistently like that.
All right, that is it. We're going to take one more break before we wrap up with the NFC West and East.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
I got the Cardinals. I'm going Buda Baker. Man, it was tough to pick a Cardinals player. Buda Baker, to me, is a spicy player who got a lot more attention over the last year, not only because he's good, but because he was trying to keep this team together on Hard Knocks, and now he was looking for a trade this offseason. He also said he will be there at their mandatory minicamp. I don't think they're going to trade him because I think at some point you need to have good players, and he's under a pretty big contract, but you don't want to just get rid of good young players, which he is, and he's a player to build around. And he's like a modern-day Bob Sanders or something. I mean, he's much better in coverage because the NFL has changed, and he wouldn't be able to stay on the field. But he just throws his body around, and he's like that dude you would love to play with, that cleat.
I mean, it concerns me that he's openly asked to play for a different team because it's like you got to – I think this year is a lost season, and like these players are a little too savvy to just trust in a rebuilding project from outer space. I mean, we don't know the coach. The general manager's new. There's not a lot of reason for dug-in hope. And if you're Buda, you could go somewhere else and be a star right away.
He could be a guy that gets traded at the trade deadline, like one of those guys we hear about, at least talked about.
Yeah, because if we think about a career in the span of 8 to 10 years, and Buda Baker has been there, I think this is year four in the desert, and all of the things, all of the changes he's seen, what's going to be there for, is this where I want to be for the remainder of my career? I think it's a reasonable thing for him to ask that, considering like the way things have been, and now people are talking about, oh, well, they're going to have the number one overall pick.
This is going to be his seventh season, Buda Baker.
That's
surprising. That sneaks up on you.
Holy crap.
You have the Rams, Patrick.
I have the Rams, and I'm going to take another really good player. It's going to be another really good wide receiver. It's Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is the spiciest player on the Rams, and people might think, like, oh, what's spicy about Cooper Kupp? Watch this dude stiff arm like six people and then have somebody say, oh, he's not that athletic. What does he have to do?
Spicy.
What do you have to be to classify? You have to outrun everybody and stiff arm six people on the way to the end zone for a touchdown? I'm just looking at, because you have – Kupp could be on that path. We know that Aaron Donald's going to the Hall of Fame. What are the Rams doing? Like, what's the plan for 2023? Because at a certain point, like, I'm looking at Cooper Kupp, I'm looking at Matthew Stafford. Like, I want more for them because I know that they're good players that can be successful. And I love Cooper Kupp, and I want him to get back to, you know.
Yeah, we have not talked targets. Cooper Kupp, like, specifically in a while.
Well, no, I mean, we have talked about, to your point, Patrick, just what some of these figures on the Rams stand out as sort of a top-heavy mm-hmm. luxury on a team that I think really just has, they've gone super young. They have like 30, 40 like young for rookies essentially on the roster. And I think they want to view this, they hope it's a one-year rebuild where you come out of this and Kupp is plugged back into an offense. I just think Matthew Stafford is someone that could get moved if a disaster strikes elsewhere. I don't know why you trade Cooper Kupp, though. Hang on to him.
He had that tightrope surgery on his ankle, but there's not many people around him. I mean, he had 145 catches 2 years ago. I mean, is he a top five fantasy pick again? You'd love to see how he looks coming off that injury, but if he's on the field, he will be worth a top five pick in fantasy.
This is a guy who's already come back from a torn ACL early in his
career. That's a good point.
And you know, people have tightrope and they come back in 3 weeks. I just think like there wasn't a reason to bring him back.
I'm just saying, like, why wouldn't he have 125 catches? Yeah. Seattle.
50. Load him up.
Seahawks quietly have one of the better rosters in football. That's one of your 1 year rebuilding jobs happened right here in the same division. The early returns on Jackson Smith and Jigba are really positive. Geno Smith was talking him up. I know that, you know, this is not non-padded, non-contact scenarios at right this point, but they are talking about him as someone that just shows right out of the gate the juice and the spice to develop very quickly in a wide receiver room that already has Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. This could be the best trio in the league. And I think you're going to get something right away from him. They're comparing some of his skills to essentially like a plug and play Doug Baldwin. And this is someone that had 347 yards, 15 catches and 3 touchdowns in a Rose Bowl.
I think his skill set also marries so well with the two receivers that are playing on the side of him. And also with Geno Smith, who to me is a touch and timing and accuracy quarterback. He's not, you know, a power just chuck it down the field. And that's what Smith and Jigba does well. Once the two guys get on the same page, I think you'll see that connection like Geno has with Lockett too.
Yeah, it's going to take time, right, for him to develop that feel and that trust with the returns to where JSN is going to be. But as a Geno believer, I can't help but to believe. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, the only thing is in fantasy, there's only so many yards to go around because they're going to run the ball a lot.
Well, yeah, I also am more concerned with real life.
Right,
to be honest.
Could be a better real player than fantasy, is all I'm saying.
Yes.
Whereas, like, all three of them cut into each other, but they're going to be tough to stop. They're high on my list, teams I want to see. 49ers. I struggled with this one because, like, I love Ayuk, but is he just established? I love watching him. I'm doing a last-minute change.
Oh.
I'm changing it from Ayuk to Colton McKivitz.
Spicy. Okay.
Every day, practically, I pass by Colton Sessler's former grade school, and I see his lovely face.
They still have that up?
It's still up. It's on multiple corners, heavy traffic corners. And he's like, it was like 5 years ago. This has nothing to do with Colton McKivitz.
Okay. You have pivoted here.
But I just like that story. And here's another man named Colton. And Colton McKivitz is the new right tackle of the 49ers. And he's standing in a little bit for this entire offensive line where it's like, yeah, they have continuity, but it's Spencer Buford, Jake Brendel, and Aaron Banks and Colton McKivitz are the guys next to Trent Williams. I mean, that is an imbalanced line. One first ballot Hall of Famer and these other dudes. And they're trusting that they'll make it happen. But to me, that's spicy. That's a spicy question to watch.
I like it. I like the spice because there's so much that people view. It's like, oh, well, Kyle's going to figure it out.
Fourth year, fifth round pick, by the way, who's been in the system for 4 years. So I should give some background.
He's ready.
You know, they put that signage up with my child's face. It was just like a 10-foot image of his face. Never told us. Never paid us for it.
It was very on your radar. You were pretty upset about it.
I'm not, Colton was fine with it. So as long as he is, but it's like, would you maybe tell a parent that we're going to splash your child's face?
But that was
Santa
when
Monica
he was
Boulevard?
Like 6 or 7.
Right.
That's when the picture's from.
Yeah.
Revisit him now where he's in middle school. What is he entering? Fifth, sixth grade?
He's entering sixth grade next year.
Even now, like a child's not going to be able to provide consent. Like maybe talk to the parents before you plaster an advert.
I have thought about going out there in the night and just ripping it down.
Yeah,
they'd have to take it.
I'm annoyed now.
I wouldn't want to deface it though. He's a beautiful young boy. Patrick, we're wrapping up with the Cowboys.
Okay.
I'm just saying it'd be weird if I defaced it, but I would just take it.
I'd love to see Greg taken in by the cops for, you know,
Oh, God.
Creating disturbance at a Catholic school.
Signs. Yeah, it's a Catholic school. I don't want to call them out, but yeah, it's out there.
Yeah. I will take Brandon Cooks as my spicy player. He's who I was thinking of, where a player was kind of toiling in futility in Houston, and now he has an opportunity to be a two on a good team with a good quarterback. And we've seen Brandon, the 1,000-yard streak finally came to an end last season. If he accomplished that, I'd say put him in Canton immediately. Right. But I think things are going to be a whole lot better for Brandon Cooks, and I think it's going to be what the Cowboys were missing last year.
They were really missing it, and it stands out to me when we talked to CeeDee Lamb at the Super Bowl, and he was peddling deodorant and actually gave me his stick of Old Spice deodorant, which I still, you know, it's my backup deodorant, so I'll use it once in a while. But, like, he was essentially...
When does backup come up?
Well, you know, like... if you're in a pinch and the normal brand that I mentioned, like I use that and runs out, got to go to CVS. So there's just, you know,
interesting.
Good to have two of everything, I think. But this CeeDee Lamb was lobbying, you know, verbally Jerry Jones to go get help for essentially the offense. And it was at wide receiver. And this is the perfect addition for them.
He's kind of the perfect number two, where you're not, you want to get him as many touches, keep him happy, but he also kind of knows where he is in the pecking order and just, dude gets buckets. Anywhere he goes, he produces. There, at some point, he will get old, but I think his skill set will age fairly well. He's always a stronger player than I think people give him credit.
He will never get old.
Really?
Just letting you know.
All right.
He's actually immortal.
Giants. Mark.
When these segments, when we kind of run out of things to talk about, it gets real quiet. I'm going Darren Waller because, I mean, there's a lot of obvious faces there we could go with in New York, but I feel like the ceiling of this offense would be suddenly different and higher if you get a full, durable season of Darren Waller playing the way that we know. Dan and I spent time with him when he was at the broadcast boot camp two off seasons ago. In the flesh, he looks like a godlike specimen. It's just simply about staying healthy. I do trust this coaching staff and Brian Daboll to use him correctly. They've got Daniel Bellinger as well, but that's two very dangerous tight ends. And I think for this kind of offense, and like they're going to have Daniel Jones, they're treating him differently as a quarterback through the air. And that started to happen a little bit towards the end of last season. But I love the idea in this New York Giants offense of you getting the Waller from a couple of years ago. That would be spicy.
It's a huge year for him. I mean, just because I think he can have a great second act with the Giants. He's the best receiver on this team. But last year, you know, he struggled to stay healthy. He needs to stay on the field. You want to start off strong and kind of be that dude, because I think he can get 1,000 yards in this offense. There's no reason why he can't.
Yeah, and to not make a specific, because he's not Travis Kelce, right? But who says that there's some law that like your best receiver has to be a wide receiver?
Not right. Today.
Like, if just get the best 11 guys out there and make.
I mean,
plays.
He already was the best receiver on those Raiders teams, yep. Right? Who else was on him?
Renfro.
I mean, he was one of those four or five game changing tight ends.
Nelson Aguilar was their number one receiver one year. That was weird.
Yikes.
And the Patriots gave him a lot of money. I am going to go with Devonta Smith, of the Eagles as my spicy player. I thought about Jalen Carter because I do want to see him. I listen to Birds with Friends, the podcast about the Eagles that The Athletic puts together. They do a great job. If you're interested, check them out. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman. And they talked about, it's just a thought that maybe they didn't even get a slot receiver this offseason, almost because they want to keep Devonta and A.J. Brown as happy as possible, and that they're actually a little conscious of that and making sure these two guys are both so good that they want to make sure they're getting them the ball a lot every week and that they're both so competitive that they get so open that there's only so many balls to go around between those two and Goddard. And, like, you don't need more. And talking about our friend Matt Harmon in reception perception, he looked at Devonta Smith's routes and, like, he wins everything and everywhere. Every route. He is a superstar that could have superstar numbers, but he's playing next to A.J. Brown, so it'd be a little trickier. But I think the Eagles are conscious of that, and they're just going to make sure they keep these dudes happy because they're just the two best players, maybe on two of the best players on the team.
It does something to your offense to have two guys who can always get open. And A.J. will make plays contested-wise, and you can see Devonta make contested catches as well, but the ability to actually get open in your routes, whether it's zone, whether it's man, the entire route tree. It's, you know, it's why those body type and weight questions coming out into the draft were a little silly.
Remember, like, I'd pick the Eagles a lot down the stretch. I just enjoyed watching how they operated with zero mercy out of the gate. And when Brown and Smith would, they would drop knockout punches on the opponent in the first quarter.
He's also like, he's strong, like he's stronger than, let's say, Jaylen Waddle, if you're going to compare the two. Like, he's a strong, even if he's a little lighter. Washington, let's wrap it up with the Commandos.
Let's wrap it up with one Scary Terry, who is a spicy player who is so consistent regardless of the quarterback play and the quarterback situation. And he's very even keeled, but I think that, you know, shift your perspective of spice to somebody who puts a feeling in defensive coordinators to where Terry McLaurin can break the game open. And if Sam Howell gets it together, I think we can have a great Terry season.
And look what he's done with essentially zero at quarterback. Yeah, total chaos at quarterback. And if you look at their roster on offense, really both sides of the ball, there is a lot to like about Washington. I struggle to believe that the coaching staff will even be there a year from now, depending on what happens, or especially what happens at quarterback. But McLaurin's done it wire to wire with terrible quarterback play.
Well, I always remember that. I don't know if it was a Thursday night game we watched over at Keisha's old place with Chris, and it was a Washington game. And he was a huge McLaurin guy from the beginning, saying just like, this dude's the truth. He is a true number one. He's going to be a star. So as we wrap up here in the Chris Wessling podcast studio, he had eyes on McLaurin. You're right. Like, his play is spicy. I mean, him being a pro and not like complaining, who cares? His play is spicy.
Yeah, and he had every reason to complain.
Yes, he does.
I know. Washington, you set me up last week, Mark, to like talk about how they're, when we were talking projected starters, how balanced their roster is. And I didn't really hit it right. I wish I had said, like, they look like a good roster. They I don't know about the quarterback thing, but like, if you put a good quarterback on that team, you'd be like, okay, this is a team.
Let's see it, yeah. Sam.
It's a big if.
Show us.
We did it. We picked the spiciest
32 player. Teams.
I don't think we've ever done a 32 team thing in a single show. So that's breaking ground. Maybe we,
well, have. We do. Well, who you're knows? Right.
I like to just say things and not fact check.
I can't think of an instance.
It's an odd thing to attempt to do in the first week of June, but I'm proud of it.
I think it's good. I think it's good. It gives a little something for everyone.
And it's spicy.
And we got Randy Chavez involved.
Spicy.
We got Eric Roberts involved. And we'll keep an eye on these mini camps this week, and we'll be back on Thursday. Patrick, enjoy the rest of your week.
I will. Thanks, guys.
Well, Dan, back in the studio, who knows? Maybe Colleen knows. They can,
yeah.
Should we bug her before the summer of Kanye truly starts? For Eric, for Randy, for Mark, and Patrick, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.